In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So today we proclaim the resurrection. I thought I would just share a few things from the canon that we sang last night. We'll also sing it tonight for Compline. It's a very beautiful canon. I recommend very much to you that you get a hold of it. I actually have copied it out and I have it in a document, and I will be happy to send it to anyone who wants to read it regularly. It's very important to understand what God wants for us and how we attain it, and also to understand the difference between what God wants for us and who we are right now. There should be a compunction in your heart because you're not the person you should be, but you're becoming the person you should be, and for that there should be great joy. And these resurrectional accounts, they capture this dissonance, this sadness, and then the joy. In fact, the joy was so difficult for them to obtain that even when the Lord was risen, they couldn't believe for a while. I think it's like that with us. We see in our life things that are just not right, and they don't get right, and we wonder about things. But the resurrection encompasses everything. The resurrection affects every part of your life, everything in your life. How you think, how you talk, the things that matter to you, and of course to help you to obliterate your sins. Because you were born for a purpose. You were born to know God intimately. You were born to be perfected. And the resurrection brings about this possibility. Indeed, we can even say this certainty if we live with faith. So I just want to tell you a few things from the canon. To fill all things with thy glory, thou hast gone down into the nethermost parts of the earth. For my person that is in Adam has not been hidden from thee. But in thy love for man, thou art buried in the tomb and dost restore me from corruption. This is what Pascha is. I don't know how it came about that so many people believe that Pascha is really more about Jesus being punished on the cross. Pascha is about Jesus causing us to become incorrupt, is dying so that he would slay death, trample down death by death. That's what Pascha is. And how can he do this? He identifies with us. Adam's not hidden from him. He's just like Adam. He's just like you and me, except he did not sin. And so this is why he can conquer death for us, because he is just like us, except he did not sin. And sin is the only thing that holds us back. That's our only problem. You think you have other problems? Your only problem is sin. That's it. There's no other problem in your life, just sin. Hell was filled with bitterness when it met the O Word, for it saw a mortal deified, marked by wounds, yet all-powerful. And it shrank barren back in terror at this sight. I have this habit when I read things, the people in the choir probably know it, I put three dots by things that sort of grab me, and usually after I've read something for several years, there's dots everywhere. But I tried to have some restraint. So Jesus Christ went down actually to Hades and broke the bonds of death. And of course then he made it so hell could not contain us either. But it says here he was a mortal deified but marked by wounds, yet all powerful. Jesus had his wounds and yet he's all powerful. Do you have wounds? I got plenty of wounds. We should wear our wounds with humility, with grace. Our Lord had wounds and yet he was all powerful. Jesus Christ takes the infirm vessel and he makes us powerful. And yet the road to perfection is paved by all imperfect steps. Every single one of the steps is imperfect. Every single one of the steps is with wounds. And yet he's bringing us to paradise. I really love that very much. It comforts me very much because of the failures that I have in my life and that I see in other people's lives. As a priest, of course, you get to see a lot of failures as well as successes. And if I don't remember that we are wounded, but the Lord was wounded too, and he will overcome all of our wounds. We're going to live with wounds, most of us, for the rest of our life. But Jesus Christ will help us if we humble ourselves, if we live in the resurrection. Now, if you think the resurrection is something that occurred 2,000 years ago, and maybe you also believe it's going to occur later, right, with the coming with the angel's trump and the end of all things. If you think that the resurrection is only those two things, then you don't understand. The church doesn't think that. The church thinks the resurrection is right now in wounded people. It's happening right now. By death dost thou transform mortality, and by thy burial corruption. With divine power thou makest incorruptible the nature thou hast taken, rendering it immortal. For, O Master, thy flesh saw not corruption, nor was thy soul left in hell as that of a stranger. This just is so beautifully put. He takes, with divine power, he makes us incorruptible. So the nature that he took, the same nature that we have. And he still has that nature. And his nature is the perfected human nature now. And we will have that perfected nature also. I've come across a lot of sad things in the past couple weeks. And difficult things. Things that are hard to explain. And I take great comfort that when we pray for the dead, we pray that they would have no sorrow or sighing, but only life everlasting. No sickness or sorrow or sighing, but life everlasting. That prayer that the priest prays, and I've recommended to you, that you pray too, many of you. That's some people who would be really upset with me for that, saying only the priest prays that, but it's such a beautiful prayer, I don't want to keep it to myself. That prayer has been prayed billions of times. And the Lord hears our prayers. So in the next life, can you understand this? In the next life, you won't be unhappy about anything that happened in this life. That is, if you've struggled in this life. Nothing. There's 100 things that make me unhappy about this life. Things I remember. Things that I cannot change. People that have died. People that are embittered because of death. I encounter that a lot. People that have all manner of struggles and their lives are torn apart by drug addiction or by something else. There's a lot of unhappiness in this life. But in the next life, we won't have any sorrow or sighing. How does that happen? You tell me. I think we could understand atomic physics before we understand that. We could understand the Trinity before we understand that. Only God knows. That's in the heart and the mind of God that we can somehow have no sorrow in the next life. And the resurrection is happening now. So although if you're like me, well, I think you are like me. You all look like me. In a general sense, of course. We're all human, right? We all have failings. We all have things that make us very unhappy. I'm not talking about trivial things. If you're unhappy because your car is old, I don't care about that problem. But the problem that you're unhappy because you've lost someone or because someone that you love is really struggling or some other thing, then in the next life there won't be any of that. Because of the resurrection. So start living the resurrection now because the Lord took on our nature. He knows all about that stuff. He knows all about the unhappiness, that deep pain that can be in our hearts because of things. He knows that. And he is resurrected. So we can live past that. The fall of Adam brought death to man, but not to God. For though the earthly substance of thy flesh suffered, yet the Godhead remained impassible. That which was corruptible in thy human nature, thou hast transformed to incorruption and passed on that transformation to us through baptism. And thy resurrection thou hast revealed a fountain of immortal life. Glory be to God that the resurrection is occurring for us right now. Even though there's things that are hard in your life, the resurrection's happening now. Learn to live in the resurrection. I'll give you one practical piece of advice. I give it all the time. It's so important that I talk about it all the time. Learn to pray with your heart. Learn to pray in a deep way. Learn to pray with all of your body, with all of your soul. Learn to pray, especially the Jesus prayer, because that's probably the easiest, most accessible thing. To pray with groaning in your heart. If you do that, then God will touch you. You'll see the resurrection happening, even in the midst of everything else that's happening. All the bad stuff that's happening. You'll see it happening, and you'll believe it. It's the only way I know of to believe in God. I think most people believe in God because they know certain things about Him. He's Trinity, and born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin, and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. Those are factoids. God must be experienced to be known. So you should be experiencing the resurrection. And Jesus Christ is our template for that, isn't He? He's our guide. We are to experience His highs and His lows. His lows were that He wept when He saw men disbelieving. He wept when He saw evil and capriciousness. He was burdened by those things, and so should we be. But also the high is that He is resurrected and passes this ability to become perfected to us. So we should rejoice. A lot of times I see Paschal sermons, and I think I'm just sometimes way too different even for myself, that they just talk about joy, joy, joy of the resurrection. But which one of us feels joy, joy, joy every moment of our life, or even most of our life? Some of us don't feel it that often. So I think it's more important on a day like today to talk about how the resurrection becomes inculcated in us by our actions, by prayer, by reaching out to our brother, by loving our brother, loving our enemy, by struggling, by answering doubt with prayer and action. And then, and also understanding very, very intimately that Christ is just like us. The canon says it over and over again, how He takes on our nature, how Adam is not unknown to Him. One of the greatest problems in our world today with people able to contact anybody at any time and use their thumbs to do anything they want on the phone is loneliness. Even people that know people and have friends, there's this existential loneliness. No one is alone if they know that Jesus Christ is just like them. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
God bless you. Did I break a rule by saying Christ is risen?